Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, he's and they's, she's and gays. Welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast with me, your host, Link Flores, brought to you by Wandering One Studios. Hope you guys are having a great day. It is February 18th, 2026. Oh boy, what a day. We've got an action. There's a really packed show for you guys today. I took a bunch of notes for things I didn't want to forget over the course of the week. But as always, I'd like to say thank you all for listening. Thank you for sharing this with anybody that you shared it with. The more people that share it and spread the word, it really does help the show. The ratings are starting to go up, which means the listens are starting to go up, which is great because very, very soon, if we keep, pushing along, I'm trying to come up with new ways to advertise the podcast being a thing. But very soon that means I'll be able to collect, instead of you just hearing ads, they will be able to help bankroll the podcast, which would be great. I'm looking forward to doing that, which also means I'll be able to do more things, such as possibly doing some giveaways, being able to put up more consistent and broader themed Patreon content. So I hope you guys will consider at the very least sharing it with somebody else. If you do nothing else, just share it with somebody else and let them listen to it. Thank you so much to the people over on Patreon for all the support and love. Thank you for everybody who's hitting up on social. I really appreciate that too. That really does, again, help reach the podcast out to more people. Rating, reviewing, subscribing, all that stuff, all those interactions. I know people say it all the time. You get tired of hearing it. We get tired of saying it. But because, this is an interaction-driven kind of medium, it does matter when you guys comment, subscribe, share it with other people, that kind of thing. So thank you so much to everyone who does that. I'm still currently on my Twitch hiatus. However, I may actually pop in for a stream this afternoon. That's right. I've been doing some work on a project for Twitch and for personal use. And I won't be displaying that until it's ready. I think I wanted to pop in and just say hi to everybody. I missed you guys. So if you get a chance, pop on over to twitch.tv/linkib. And there you can find me doing streaming and gaming stuff and talk some shit with the homies and just having a good time. So if you like video gaming, if you like watching somebody be sometimes great and mostly fairly average at video games, that is your one-stop shop. The links are in the description of this podcast. But then again, real quick, twitch.tv/link, the letter I and the word B, B-E. So link IB. So please feel free to pop on over there and say hello. Also, you can check me out on the social medias over on Blue Sky. Like I said, all these links are in the podcast description. I'm not going to bore you with it. Let's get right into it. Man. I mentioned the ad revenue. And for people who, podcast on, put their podcasts on YouTube or Twitter or whatever, they obviously have more access to that kind of ad revenue than I would. Part of the reason I don't put it on YouTube is it requires a lot of extra editing and stuff that I don't want to have to put the effort into doing just yet. And also, I have to learn those suites more adequately. And I don't have the production value or the time to create the kind of production value that I would need. To do it properly, I would probably have to take a half a year off of everything else except for working on podcasting. Just to build everything up. Maybe not even that long on project, but I definitely would think to learn it well, I'd have to take at least 3 months to kind of just sit down, drill into it. And that's just time and effort I just don't have at this moment. And if I was hitting ad revenue, sure, I could afford to take a little bit of time off and do that. But it also means, other things would suffer in the meantime. I considered going back to school as well. But again, that requires money. So, damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? We're working through it, though. We'll get there, I have no doubt. And I'd like to also be able to, if nothing else, be able to compensate guests with maybe a gift bag or a gift card or something like that for coming on the show. Like I said, do minor giveaways, kind of like how I do over on Twitch. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit too. It's one of those things, when you look at ad revenue, it's annoying to listen to advertisements, but it's a very easy way to, without having to require any extra involvement, to give a little money back to the people who are providing content for you. Like I said, I don't collect a check from this. This is largely a passion project that will hopefully turn into revenue at some point in time. But who knows? It may never. But it will definitely get closer the more people listen to it. And ads are a big part of that. And I'm not talking to anybody who's not familiar with the concept of advertisements. The one thing I really hate about advertising is when it doesn't respect the audience. You know what I mean? Like an ad that is either so vapid or so poorly constructed that you're like, why did you even bother? You know? Like, you could have done anything else but this, and we'd have probably been better off. You could have just said the name of what your company is, you know, Acme, you know, I don't know, like Acme toilet seats, a place to put your ass. It could have been that simple. I'd rather hear that than hear you do some wackadoo kind of off the wall advertisement. I also don't like it when I hate AI, first of all. We're going to go ahead and get that out of the way. There's a lot of people who use AI to create advertising content now. We'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I really hate it when you don't bother to spend the money to get somebody who's going to commit to your ad. You know what I mean? And I'll give you a case in point. Like, you may not hear this depending on where you are, where you're, you know, because ads are served basically along regional lines. But in my region, there's this company called Renewal by Anderson. And Renewal by Anderson is a, you know, home improvement kind of thing, but they do like mostly windows. You know, if you're in Florida, you'll know that most houses that are built within the last like 20 years are basically built out of cardboard and popsicle sticks. They're poorly insulated. They're shittily constructed. And they more often than not, they're more trouble than they're worth to buy a house. You know, in this economy, and it's particularly in Florida. That being said, because it's so problematic to try to get stuff done correctly, renovation businesses go really well. And this ad that they had for Renewal by Anderson, I just heard it today, twice before I was getting ready to record this podcast. The speaker comes on, he goes, Renewal by Anderson. What? And he starts talking about the window products that they put together. I'm like, oh, you mean Renewal by Anderson. But dude said Newell Blanderson. And I thought that maybe he was like, you know, hi, I'm spokesman Newell Blanderson for Renewal by Anderson. I'm like, I thought he was doing a bit. No, he just said it. He just said the name of the company so badly that it sounded like he was doing, like, you know what I mean? Like how you got the Limu Emu and Doug or whatever the fuck his name is, right? And so you've got those characters that are kind of represent your brand. I thought they made a guy named Newell Blanderson for Renewal by Anderson because of how badly this guy pronounced the name of the company. Like, you know, I would love to get paid to write advertising content because, like, see, that would be kind of funny to me. You know what I mean? Who is it? It's Newell Blanderson of Renewal by Anderson. Like, that's a little on the nose, isn't it? It's like, and, you know, it would just kind of like play up that idea that like his name sounds so close to if you screwed up Renewal by Anderson. Like, they're just like, we got to get this guy as our spokesperson. I don't know. I think that would just be fun. But like the only reason I came up with that idea was because somebody else did a bad job of reading their advertising text. You know, I was like their ad copy. I'm like, I don't know if I'd ever come up with that idea on my own. So in a way, I got to kind of thank that guy too. For doing such a bad job that I thought of something that was, I think personally, and you know, I could be biased because it is me coming up with the idea, but I think it's a better idea. What do you guys think? You know, somebody's got to have an idea out there, like an advertising idea that would be funny or something that they're like, oh, I would never have thought of this until this happened, but then I saw this and made me think about this ad would be hilarious. I love shit like that though. And it's because there's so many weird things that are like pushed to us every day. I mean, we'll get to the new stuff in a little bit, but I'm going to circle around to this thing about McDonald's for Valentine's Day. It's the last time I talked to you guys. Valentine's Day is come and gone. Hope you had a happy Valentine's Day. Actually, I should have mentioned that at the top of the show. But yeah, there's always like promotional things for Valentine's Day. I was never really big on Valentine's Day. I do respect it. You know, like people want to show your love for people and stuff like that. And I've, you know, I've done my bit, you know. I try to do a little something for whoever I'm with. Even though it's not like my thing, like it is nice. You know what I mean? Just it's nice to get a little something. I'm not saying like I've been the guy who's done the thing where, you know, let's make a reservation at this fancy restaurant. Let's go on this romantic, you know, walk or, you know, horse carriage ride or what the fuck ever, you know, let's get a hotel room or go on vacation. I've done that before. More often than not, it hasn't paid off. And I don't mean in sexual terms. I just mean just in general, like you put in a lot of time and effort and money and whatever, for somebody who ends up not reciprocating in a way that you'd be happy with. And that's pretty fucked up. But what I mean, the one way to not miss is food. You know what I mean? If you provide like good food, that's one thing. People like, everybody likes to eat. Everybody got to eat, right? It's pretty simple. And I was watching the news the other day. I think it was like 2 days before Valentine's Day. And they said McDonald's did it again, guys. McDonald's just created a nuggets and caviar like special thing, like a special meal menu that you order or something. I was so confused. I can't even think straight. I can't even talk straight right now. And they were talking about it seriously. Like people were seriously discussing, like, you know, well, what about, why wouldn't you want McNuggets and caviar? I'm like, why would you? I mean, chicken and fish can go together, but like that, absolutely not. And look, I've had caviar. It's fine. Take it or leave it. I'm not really a big fan or whatever. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not saying that it's some kind of like amazing, you know, aperitif. But why would you pair caviar with chicken McNuggets? You know what I mean? I don't get it. I just don't get it. It'd be like eating foie gras off a Dorito. You know what I mean? Like, why are you putting such a like an elevated food item? And I honestly, to be quite honest, caviar is overrated, but that's just my personal opinion. But why would you put something that's so societally elevated on something that is universally agreed to be practically garbage? It's just a step above eating out of an actual trash can in terms of like what it is as far as food's concerned. I was kind of blown away. I didn't even know that they had done it before. There's like McDonald's, when they said McDonald's had done it again, I'm like, they did this shit before? Like, who? I don't know. I'm definitely not the market for it. We could put that out there. I'm definitely not the market for it. Which is why I didn't do it. And I never would. I think if I had a million years to think of all the different ideas that I could put together, I don't think I would have ever gotten to caviar and McNuggets. I just don't think that that's a thing I would ever consider. Could be me, though. Could just be me. It most likely is, I'll be honest with you. Just some shit I just don't understand. I think I was talking about with one of my friends the other day, and like I don't know how people that are younger than millennials, like anybody who's like right now like 35 and under, I don't know how they're gonna survive the next couple of years. Just I've heard people like having birthday parties to say RIP to my 20s because they're turning 30 is like a level of drama I just will never understand. You know, I mean, when I was younger, maybe it's probably because I always looked older than I was. Like, even when I was a kid, people were like, he's got, like, the eyes of an old man, you know? That's what my kindergarten teacher said about me. I was 5. She said I had the eyes of, like, an old sailor. So I've always looked more mature than my age. And at the very least, and I didn't look mature, I looked older than my actual age. But, yeah, it's just this whole, like, oh, woe is me. I won't be 20-something anymore. Hey, man, when you were 27, you were closer to 30 than you were when you were 20. So what the fuck are we crying for here? Just get on with it, right? I think that's also the thing, too. It's like, you know, once you get past, like, the age of 21, there's not a whole lot of birthdays that you celebrate. You know what I mean? Because there's not a lot of cool shit that happens. Like, once you get past, like, 40, 50, once you get, like, 50, you know, there's, like, milestone birthdays. Oh, you made it to 50. Woo! You made it to 60, 70, 80, 90, Jesus Christ, 100, what the fuck? You know, like, it's just like, I just find it like, if you're thrown by the concept of aging by now, when your cerebral cortex is mostly formed at the age of 30, you're in for a real fucking rude awakening when you hit 40. Like, you guys are gonna have to toughen up or something like that. This is just, it's getting really sad and pathetic to watch. I don't understand it. But then again, like I said, I've always looked older. I always felt older too. Like I've always felt like an anachronism. Like when, even when I was around people my own age in like school or, you know, sometimes even in college, I'd just be like, I don't know that I really belong here. You know, like I always felt like I was just a step out of time. Maybe I was too young for something or I was too old for something mentally or whatever. I just don't feel like I ever really fit in. So all that to say, like, y'all, you gotta toughen up a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe I should soften up a little bit too. I don't know. It could be one or the other. I think that it's, I was just thinking about the Valentine's Day things. I looked down at my note and I was like, oh yeah, I do remember one time in college. Cause like I said, I've never really been big on it for me. Like, it's a Hallmark holiday, you know, the whole, you know, it's not really making anybody any money. It's not bringing any awareness, but it's nice. You know what I mean? It's nice. It's fun. Something sweet to do. One year when I was in college, I had been dating this girl who was a certifiable nightmare. By the time it was all said and done, I felt bad because, you know, I think it was the adage was you put at least one person in your life into therapy. And I think that we were for each other. Like, we were consistently putting one another into therapy or close to it. We were definitely in need of it. But yeah, we had been broken up at one point during Valentine's Day, And a couple of my girlfriends from college actually sent me like a candy gram and like a black roses. You know what I mean? Because like, most of us were single at the time. So it was just a really sweet gesture. I never forgot that. You know, we all kind of got together and went out to dinner and just kind of just celebrated just being friends. And I thought that was really cool. I like that. It was funny, the black roses thing, because it was like Singles Awareness Day. I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's a little on the nose, but it's cute. But yeah, we had a good time with that. I like the idea of celebrating something more than just being like, oh, it's over. The curtains have drawn and now my 20s have fallen into the abyss. Oh, fucking give me a break. Jesus. Yeah, it's like, it makes me want to fart. Like, I can't handle it. Oh my God. It's so dramatic. Such drama. Ugh, I can't even. There's so much drama in the world today and in the LBC, but also in the world. I don't have time for that extra shit when we're just hanging out and being people. Shut up. Knock that shit off. You know? I guess that could just be me. And it's most likely just because I'm getting older and just kind of like some stuff I just ain't got the patience for. Not that I can't even understand where it comes from. Like, I can understand the concept behind these ideas and feelings and whatnot. I just ain't got time for it. You know what I mean? I know how it sounds, but I mean, I can't help myself. I just kind of look at it and go, oh, please stop. Just, it's enough. Yeah, I know. And that was the other thing, too, is like, I'm going to start doing people's phone calls and stuff on nights and weekends time. I think we got this shit twisted. Like, maybe they were right back. I mean, it's stupid the way they did it. I mean, like, the idea of, you know, charging people for texts and stuff during the day. Yeah, it makes sense because people are awake during the day. I think nights and weekends should have cost more, though. I think it would go the other way around. Because think about how many people, especially when young people are around, like how many people text and talk and shit like that from like the hours of 6 o'clock until like 1 a.m. I'll tell you right now, I could make $1 billion if I just charged everybody who used my Discord channel between the hours of like 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. Those people there between in that six hour window, those people would make me a fucking billionaire. Just in charging them for every time my phone pings or gets notification. The other night I went to sleep and just between, I mean, I always go to bed pretty late, right? And I've been saying lately, I've been having some trouble sleeping. It's not about falling asleep. I could fall asleep at the drop of a hat, but it's staying asleep. So I've had trouble staying asleep. And one of the things that was, I noticed was I get sleepy
I'm yawning right now.
Sorry. But I get sleepy usually around, like, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock, which isn't too crazy, right? But I'll kind of fight it, and then I will kind of swing through that little drop off in energy until about 1 or 2 in the morning. So by the time I had gone to sleep, it was probably like 1:30. And then I woke up from a pretty quick sound sleep at like 4:15 in the morning. And in that, like, that's like 2.5 hours, right? 2:30, 3:30, 4. Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours. In that 2.5 hour span, there were like 19 different messages from just one server. That doesn't include like the, you know, half dozen, dozen or so more that I got from other servers that I'm a part of, because, you know, friends have stuff and whatnot going on. But the people, I don't know what it is about people when it hits Discord between, like, you know, midnight and 5 a.m., but they are on it, dude. I can't get half of these people to respond, like, to a message during the daylight hours. And it's probably because they're up all fucking night on Discord, you know? And God forbid anybody answer a telephone or a text message or anything like that. I've sent people messages, and they haven't responded for days on end. To the point where I'm like, do I have to show up at your fucking house? Are you alive? Like, what's going on, my nigga? Like, I got shit to do. I need to hear from you right now. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I actually had that happen recently with a homie, and I was like, I had other shit pop up this weekend, but we were supposed to kick it this weekend, and, like, I felt bad for the homie, because I really wanted to go, but, you know, if I haven't heard from you for, like, a week after I've asked you a question, I just assume that you're either not doing it or you don't care. So I made other plans. Like, I've got other shit going on, you know, and then it was like, hey, we're doing this. I'm like, you are. I'm not. You know, not for nothing, but, like, I waited for a week for an answer for you, and I heard nothing. So by the time, you know, the weekend had rolled around, I'm like, I've decided to do other shit now. So, sorry. Next time, you know what I mean? Stop leaving a nigga on red. It don't take that long to fire off two sentences. You know what I mean? Like, I know even if you can't type and you have to tap each letter like a chicken pecking, you know, for corn, you could still type out two sentences, you know, in less than a minute, 2 minutes tops. So, and that actually kind of pissed me off a little bit too, because it makes, you know, people's time is the most, somebody's time is their most valuable commodity, basically, next to their body. You know what I mean? Someone's time is probably one of the most valuable things that they can offer to you. So when you're disrespectful of other people's time, it leaves a mark, right? And I know, because I'm bad at being on time for shit, but I'm not bad about when I'm there doing what I need to do, right? Perfect example. It's not because I'm necessarily forgetful or lazy. It's just I get caught up doing other shit. And then I'm like, oh, I forgot to do this. I should have done that. And if I do this right now, then I'll have to come back and do it again. Da-da-da-da-da. And then before I know it, like, I've wasted another half an hour on something. I'm like, fuck! And then I'm late. But I'm talking, that's like just basically being like, oh, I forgot something for, like, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever, maybe hour. And I got behind. But 6 days? 6 days means you didn't give a fuck. So that means by default, I don't have to give a fuck. It's not even my thing. So if you don't care enough about your thing to be on time about your thing, I don't have to care at all either. You know what I mean? That's what you told me. And especially if you're like, I'm trying to help you out, so that's why I'm sending this message. You know, hey, what do you want? Do you need something? And you just ignore it like I ain't say nothing. That lets me further understand how important it was to you to answer me. And also, by proxy, how important I am to you as a person. You get what I'm saying? And people teach you, you know, how they feel about you. And when they do, you should listen to them. You know what I mean? And people will teach you how they want to be treated by the way they let you treat them. And you, by you know, turn about being fair play, you do the same thing as a human being. Like, if the way you let people do you sets a precedent for how they're like, I can just do this now. And I'll tell you one thing real quick. I'm not that motherfucker. You just can't do that to me. You know? Like, if you're a little late or whatever, I get that. Like I said, I'm tardy all the time. It's not because I'm dumb. I said like it's almost like time dilation works in reverse for me. You know, like I think I have way more time than I actually have. So I think I got all this time to do all this stuff. And then before I realize it, I've overwhelmed myself to the point where I'm like, well, now I have to do it because I dedicated myself to this proposition. If I stop, then I'll leave it for somebody else to have to do. And then that would piss them off. So I don't want to be that guy. You get what I mean? So like, I understand being tardy. You know, I understand that kind of thing. But just completely being dismissive of somebody else's time? Oh no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why people say, like, people from up north, especially, like, you know, New England, the Midwest, like Chicago, you know, Indiana, St. Louis, they're like, you know, Northerners are mean and rude. No, we're not. We just don't like people fucking around. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like you being in my fucking way. Like, I have no time for okey-doke bullshit. I got things to do. Life is short. Get the fuck out of the way. You know? And also because we're up there, it's cold. You know? And it's like, hey, man, that breeds a different kind of human being. It's a no-nonsense kind of human being. Hey, man, I ain't got time for this shit. I need you to move the fuck out the way. If I'm going to be late on my own, that's fine. But if you make me late, I'm going to be mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, people in the South, especially here in Florida, holy shit. Trying to get people to do anything, any kind of expediency, you have better luck. You know, I don't know a way to put it. I have no way to put it. I don't even know what I could possibly compare it to. You know, you'd have a better chance of actually catching a lightning bolt with your bare hands, probably, than getting people to be in any kind of hurry to do shit around here. And I get it, because it's hot, you know what I mean? And especially when you're closer to the beaches, there's a certain, like, vibe that the beaches areas give off that's just like, hey, man, fuck it, take it easy. And to a certain extent, I understand that lifestyle. But I still need you to move the fuck out the way. Like, if you're not gonna be helping me get to something, I need you to get the fuck out of my face. I can't do it. I've tried for years, and even as laid back as I was when I lived at the beaches, I still could not fully, and I couldn't dig the beach lifestyle to that degree. Where it was just like laid back beach bum life, I couldn't do it. It wasn't for lack of trying, though. I tell you that. I definitely did give it my best shot. But I might start putting people on nights and weekends for real. Just being like, you can't talk to me unless you have messaged me, you know. You can't talk to me after like 10 p.m. unless you've talked to me at least twice in the previous like 12 hours. You know what I mean? Like, if you haven't messaged me at least two times between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., by 10 p.m., you're just out of luck. Like, that's when I'm going to start charging you. You're going to get an invoice every time I have to answer a message from you after like 10 o'clock until fucking 7 in the morning. Those are my non-business hours. That's time for me, the wife, the family, just chilling. Nah. I know how it sounds. I don't care. It's just how I feel, though. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's probably just me getting older. But I mean, I can't even say that because, like I said, I've been that way for a long time. Like, I've been that way since my 20s. Teens, probably, actually. Like, think about it. I've been this way pretty much my entire life. That's just how I am. I just can't deal. Yeah, this shit makes me fucking want to bite somebody. Ugh. Anyway, new stuff real quick. We're going to speed run this shit because most of it is ridiculous. There's this story that I was actually going to talk about this. There's a story that's been going around about a lady being shot and killed by her father after an argument about Trump. And it's only literally almost a year to the day when it started coming out. Like, it was a little bit over that. But it's only been within the last like week or so that this story has popped up. And they're talking about how the daughter was arguing with their dad because he's a big MAGA dude. And she's basically saying, like, what would you do if I were one of these girls that was, you know, raped and molested by Epstein and Trump and, you know, the cronies that are in the Epstein files. And the father said, I actually have two other daughters, so I wouldn't be that bent about it. What the fuck? If I had heard somebody say that, I'm trying to put myself in this scenario. I'm the daughter and I say that to my dad and he goes, I already have two other daughters, so it wouldn't matter if you got raped or not. I'd have shot him. Because here's what happened in my head, right? If he has the fucking balls to say that to his daughter, that means he either has been or has been thinking about doing that to his others, the other girls. Either he's wanted to do that to them, was just, you know, I'm not going to say a coward, but he's like too afraid of what was going to, the repercussions. And he just didn't want to get caught. You know what I mean? That's not a bad thing. Like, I'm not saying you need balls to do it. You need something to do it. He was just this side of warped enough that he didn't go through with it. But that means the way he said it, to me, that sounds like he had thought about it already. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just come off the top of your head with some shit like that to say to your daughter. Are you fucking crazy? Bro, she should have shot him. But then after that, though, what happens is, like, they go their separate ways. She storms off, and I guess she hadn't been living in the States for a while. She was there with her boyfriend to visit, and then she was up in her old room, kind of messing around on the internet, and then he decided he was going to show off his gun to her, which that's the story he gives, right? And then he says it accidentally discharged and killed her. I think he was probably drinking a lot and got in his feelings about his daughter being mad about him, you know, saying that horrible shit to her, and especially about her other sisters. And he's like, I'll show this little bitch. And then he went up there and shot her. He's like, if I can't have you, no one can, kind of thing. That's how it reads to me. The way he said what he said, the thing he said, and then how all the shit shook out. It shook out like, if I can't have you, no one can. And that's hella crazy behavior. But it is weird that this story is only just now really coming to light. Because I remember a lot of stories from the last year. I don't remember hearing shit about this. And you'd have thought it'd been a much bigger deal, but it wasn't. And I think part of it is the framing, because they make it sound like the fight caused the shooting. But when you hear the account, the fight was over. They had gone their separate ways. But I think he just hadn't had enough. Like, he had his final word was him pulling the gun on her. I don't believe this accidental discharge bullshit either. But then again, we are talking about a guy who basically said he wouldn't give a shit if his daughter got raped or molested. So, I ain't talking about the most reputable motherfucker in the world. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I could handle that. As the daughter, I think I'd have had to find his gun and shoot him myself. Like, I can't leave you around. You know what I mean? What if one time you come in here when I'm asleep and try to take over, you know, take me by force or do something to one of my sisters? I got to make sure this animal's dead. We put down dogs when they bite kids. I don't know why we don't do the same thing to pedophiles. And then here we just, you know, give them a court appointment or a presidency, I guess. That's the country we're living in. That's not a place I want to be. And it's just so wild that this kind of stuff can continue to happen. Like, Pam Bondi's getting dragged for all the wild shit she said during her Senate hearing. And that's great. I'm glad that she's getting all the shit she's getting, because that lady's a fucking harpy. But it's not enough, like, to just be talking shit about people. Like, we need these politicians and, you know, law enforcement agencies to actually take these people to task and put them in fucking jail. Just censoring them and impeaching them doesn't do a fucking thing. We need people behind bars, in handcuffs, in oranges, dragged into prison. Federal poke you in the ass prison. That's where these people need to be. You do that kind of shit to little girls, you do that kind of shit to women, period. You deserve to be there. There's allegations, right? And then there's what you can prove. But there's actually fucking photos and videos, a lot of wild shit that happened. I think one of them was like Prince Andrew torturing a young girl. Really? You tortured a child. Cut his balls off. I don't have any compassion for pedophiles. And if you think that this is inciting hate speech, fuck you too. Because pedophiles aren't people. They're not. There's something fundamentally broken in that entity that exists that wants to do that to children. And I'll go to my grave saying it. I don't give a fuck how you feel. Anybody who's mad about that, stop listening right now and throw yourself in front of a train. If that offends you, like, well, pedophiles are people too. I don't want your fucking listenership. I think we're all clear on that. So let's move on. Yeah, it's like I said, it's fucked up that, you know, Pam Bondi's going to protect and obfuscate and, you know, try to dodge behind legalese and legal, you know, like in like legal precedent and, you know, oh, what there's what's legal and then there's what's ethical or moral. It's like, I can get away with this shit, so I'm gonna. That mentality is horrifying, and it's not what we need in somebody who's heading up the Department of Justice, first of all. But Ted Lieu called her out for, you know, he's like, you just lied under oath. You saw that video. If you haven't, I have to find it and pull it up. But he literally catches her like in the middle of her deposition lying. He's like, you literally just lied in front of all of us right here under oath. And they didn't hold her in, they didn't hold her in contempt. They didn't, you know, they didn't arrest her for perjury. You can just lie to Congress and it's all good. You could, I didn't know you could do that. I did not know that you could do that. I would love to be able to try it. I doubt it would work as well for me. I don't know. But you know, that's it's weird that the stuff that we're, you know, that's allowed to get past us and under the radar, nobody knows about, like this shooting death of this young woman from last year just finally coming out. And remember this. Remember when Keith Porter was shot on New Year's Eve this past year? Like literally the 2025 turning into 2026, this new year that just passed. Do you know how we know about him? Because Renee Good got shot. Yeah, that's the only reason why we know. That doesn't even include the other Latinos who were killed in ICE custody or allowed to pass away in ICE custody because they were denied medical treatment. We're not even going to get to those guys. There's so much shit that we don't know that we don't know. I'm going to share one thing with you guys today, too. CBS actually torpedoed an interview with James Tallarico of Texas. He's a pastor. I think he's a former pastor or currently a pastor, and he's also running for like Texas's state Senate seats, or like the one that's going to DC. But he was being interviewed by Stephen Colbert, and CBS torpedoed the interview because the FCC now, the Federal Communications Commission, basically said, you know, if you're going to have him on there, he's going to talk shit about our Führer. So we're not going to let you, you know, we'll shit can the interview, we'll fuck up with your license or whatever. And because CBS is run by Barry Weiss, who is also in the Epstein files, referenced her and her wife are both referenced by Epstein in private emails. When he asked, when are you and your babe coming back to party with us? So that's the kind of disgusting little heifer that Barry Weiss is, right? She's bringing her wife around this sex trafficking pedophile. And like they're hanging out and having a good old time, right? Now you can see the way that she's been hitting people over the head at CBS, firing a bunch of the minority staffers that work there. The way they've pulled the way they pulled Stephen Colbert's late night show. And now they shot down this interview. They wouldn't air it, and they said they were citing financial reasons. Get the fuck out of here. That show has never been more popular than it is right now. I'll bet my left shoe on that shit. That show is probably getting more views now than it had in the previous, like, 3 years. You know? So, if anything, Stephen Colbert is making y'all money because people coming to watch his stuff. They shot the interview down, so they put it out, the late show tonight, put it out on their YouTube channel. So that's the only way you can watch it right now, because CBS is a bunch of fucking, you know, sycophantic cowards. That's what it is. That means a late night talk show host has more journalistic integrity than the entire agency, or the entire organization that is CBS. That's wild. That is fucking bananas. But it's just par for the course. And why would they change? Why would they change? There's no incentive for them to change. One of the biggest reasons why is because people still watch the shit, right? Like, I think people probably would just tune in just to watch Stephen Colbert and turn CBS off for the rest of their lives. I've gotten to the point right now, I never really watch late night television, but I watch everything that they put out on the Late Night Tonight, you know, YouTube channel. CBS isn't getting the ratings, but, you know, I mean, they're getting the hits probably because they run the, you know, the YouTube channel or whatever. But, you know, I mean, I think the biggest problem is, you know, you can have all the good intentions in the world, but if nobody helps, the fuck does it matter? You know? Like the same thing with the like I don't have Xbox Game Pass. I just have, you know, my Xbox and I play games on it. Because I'm not about to throw a fucking $600 piece of technology in the trash just because they raised the price of Game Pass, you know, 100% for the premium tier. That's just stupid. You know what I mean? That's like those people who shot fucking Bud Light cans because they put a trans person on them. What a fucking moron you are. So I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to throw away my game console and just, you know, trash it because of that. But I'm not giving them, you know what I mean, my Xbox, you know, subscriptions or whatever. Will I buy games? Sure. I'll buy a game every now and again. The last two games I bought were under $10 a piece. I've been buying everything on sale. Like, I mean, they're having fire sales on Xbox right now. Like, they are going out of business. So I had to grab some water because I didn't have time to pause. I thought I was going to cough into the microphone and die. Where was I? I was thinking about CBS, though. And, like, make no mistake. Like, when you see a company bow like that, there's not a low that they won't stoop to. You know what I mean? They're supposed to be supporting free speech just by the very virtue of the fact that they're a communications company. But because Barry Weiss is beholden to Donald Trump, of course she's going to suck his balls. So she tells him, don't air the interview. That's wild to me. I don't understand that at all. But it just goes to show just how in their pocket CBS really is. CBS is in Trump's pocket so deep, they're picking lint out of their teeth. It's crazy. But it's good that, you know, they still put the interview out for the late night show. They weren't going to let that stop them. But, you know, Barry Weiss and all her lackeys should be fired. They should be charged with treason because that's against the United States government, the United States as a country. That's not against, like, President Trump or against the administration, right? You've committed treason against the United States because we are the people are the United States, not a president. You know, not his cabinet, not his flunky-ass Supreme Court justices. It's the people. And by censoring somebody and basically turning CBS into state-run media, you've betrayed the American people. I think they should be tried for treason. I don't know if that's how... I know that's not how it would actually work, but I wish it would be. But it's very telling that legacy media is falling off. Anderson Cooper left CNN just this past week. I think he finally got fed up. He's like, I can't keep doing this back and forth, whataboutism kind of journalism that CNN has been trying to push lately. And it was weird because CNN, well, they leaned a little bit more left recently. And I mean recently, like, talking about five, six years ago. In the last year and a half, they started to do this, like I said, that whataboutism, where it's like, you know, well, so-and-so said this, but what about when they said this, blah, 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 blah. And you could see them, like, leaning into more right-wing shit. I'm like, we're lost. Legacy media is lost. There was a time when, you know, you would just get the news, just the facts, ma'am. That was all you'd get. But now, with so many opinion pieces and sizzle reels and stuff like that in the news, like, it's different for a podcast because I'm not held to the same kind of journalistic standard as a legacy media outlet is. Now, I do have an obligation personally that I feel to not give you bad information or false information. Putting my own spin on it is kind of what makes it uniquely mine. And hopefully it's part of the reason why people come back and listen. But I do have to say that, like, you'd expect a major news outlet like that to be at a higher journalistic standard, and they're just not. It's actually pretty unfortunate. But then again, like I said, everybody's in bed with everybody else. So what do you know? Who knows? Who gives a fuck? You know, Meta's already basically said that they're sharing user data with DHS. So if you've got shit to say about Donald Trump and you're on Facebook, Instagram, or any of those other meta-based platforms, good luck, motherfucker. They're selling your data to the Department of Homeland Security. Somebody's going to be at your door one day, drag you away, disappear you to Alligator Alcatraz. I'll stop by and wave from the freeway. But, you know what I mean? Because I think it's fucked up. But Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I told people a long time ago, get off Meta, get off Facebook. I could find a different messaging client than Facebook Messenger that I could get everybody to get on board with, I would. But again, that's the problem. Like I said, the biggest problem is, I think it was Daniel Tosh. He said, I can solve global warming. The solution's easy. You won't help. That's the real problem. Stop having kids. I was like, what? And his argument makes sense. But I mean, the biggest message, the biggest takeaway is what he basically said. He's like, the problem is the solutions to a lot of this stuff are easy. The biggest problem is getting people to get on board with it and to cooperate. I mean, to show up, period. You know what I mean? It wasn't even that hard. Cancel your Disney Plus. Cancel it. Mine's already canceled. This time next week, it'll be no mas. We will have no more Disney Plus. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really give a fuck. I don't. Most of the stuff I would watch, Marvel or whatever, I can go to like a, you know, used CD store, a used DVD store and buy that shit. You know, if I really want to see it. I don't need Disney Plus to watch that stuff. I can go buy those DVDs. And I can buy them secondhand so I don't have to give Disney any more money. How about that shit? How does that grab you? This is one of the things I was always talking about, though, when I said people thought I was crazy when I was saying the shift to completely digital media is not a good look for the consumer, period. Digital's the wave of the future! And then you turn on your Xbox one day or your PlayStation or whatever, and they're like, this game no longer exists because we decided not to support the servers anymore. Fuck you, and thanks for all the money. But you voted for that shit, you know what I mean? When they started deregulating businesses, that's when this really started falling apart. But, you know, we stopped voting with our wallets. That's when that kept on proceeding, you know? And I think that's the one of the issues that really bugs me with anything, is the solutions are almost always very easy. The biggest problem is you can't get people to fucking do anything in their own self-interest. You know what I mean? And it's not like I'm asking you to, you know, cut off a foot or no shit like that. You know what I mean? Because you got a snake bite. I just want you to push a couple buttons and not give them your money for about 6 months to a year. Who's it gonna hurt really? You know what I mean? If you want to yo-ho-ho your way through their shows, I don't give a fuck about that. I'm not gonna tell nobody. I'm not recommending that you do it. I'm definitely not advocating for breaking the law. But I mean, let's look at it this way. If purchase doesn't equal ownership, then piracy doesn't equal theft. Like if I pay for this content and you tell me that I can't have it, and I can have it only as long as you decide I'm allowed to have it, then I don't own it. It's an amorphous piece of content, which means it doesn't matter anymore if I take it for free. Does it? I don't own it. Technically, you say you own it, but do you really, though? Because if I could just yoink this shit off the internet, who owns anything? Crazy how that works, right? Anyway, that's a lot. And AI is ruining everything. I will say that because I will say this. One of the biggest things I've noticed is, again, trying to get into voice acting and whatnot. One of the hardest things is finding jobs, then also finding jobs that aren't just them trying to scrape your voice so they can use it for their own little voice recognition software. They can run their own algorithm and make a bot sound like somebody. And they've been using people's faces for years, and they're like, it's been the racist shit that's coming up with AI is unreal. There was one, I think it's called Sora or something like that. It's an AI video creation app. They use this one black girl's face to have her saying all kinds of racist shit and like pro MAGA shit. She's like, I have never said anything like that in my life. I'm the exact opposite of someone who would say that. She's like, and this company has been using my face, my likeness for years now. This is what I tell y'all. You got to be careful about certain things. Like people are like, I'll sign this away. I'll sign that away. It's going to be fine. Digital's the way of the future. Use AI for everything. ChatGPT. Yeah, it's only for a matter of time. It's only going to be a matter of time before they like, oh, we own this. We own this because you said that.
And now if you say anything else like this, we own that too. You know what I mean? Like, they're pulling it off of people. They're taking people's actual fucking faces, bro. And like these voice acting jobs, when they say, read this for $500 and that's all we're ever going to pay you forever and ever. Amen. What are you using this voice for? We're using it for our language model training software. Oh, you're going to use my voice to make your robot voice sound more like a person's voice. Got it. And I get nothing out of this after the rest of the deal? Fuck you. You say it then, bitch. You know what I mean? Let it learn how to talk like your dumbass. You can tell I'm very passionate about this kind of thing. AI bothers me, and the fact that people so freely and wantonly use it, and that it takes from artists, it takes from musicians, it takes from creators, it takes from just regular ass people. The AI centers are the size of fucking small city blocks. They ruin the economy, they ruin the environments, and people still keep playing into them. I don't see how anybody can see what AI does to a community, just a community. Forget what it does to the artists and creators that it steals from. Just what it does to the people who live next door to the fucking thing. I don't know how you can see that and still be like, but I like my songs. Fuck that. Fuck that. Then we got all this other extra bullshit. A teacher, Linda Davis, say her name. A teacher in Chatham County, Georgia, was killed in a car crash while ICE was chasing down somebody. Why? The Chatham County Police Department actually was quoted as saying, we have a strict, and it was during morning rush hour traffic. When people are going to work, kids are going to school, teachers are trying to get to their jobs, boom, dead. The Chatham Police County Commissioner was like, we have a strict no high-speed chase during these hours, specifically for these reasons, policy in our department. Guess what? I still have to do any of that shit, do they? Nah, man. Just a bunch of yeehaw cowboy fat fucks with guns. They're the most... I was actually thinking about this, and I got a really... Man, I got to give a shout out to the homie Brian Simpson, comedian extraordinaire and podcaster for the world. Brian Simpson's for the children. In one of his most recent episodes, season 2, episode 153, by the way. Thanks for the love, homie, for you and all the other beaver pusses out there. I can't get on board with it, my dude. But it is funny. It does make me giggle, but I just can't. Hold on. Oh man, I didn't want to cough directly into the mic. I just had to say it in case he hears it. But it does make me laugh. If I come up with something better, my guy, I'll definitely write the podcast again and tell him what's up. By the way, y'all go over there and give that man a follow. Check out his podcast. It's absolutely extraordinary. But he was talking about this same kind of concept. He's like, you know, the amount of power they give to these ICE agents just wantonly without proper training. Psych evaluations, mental health, you know, surety is crazy. So you give them the power of life and death. So some of the most unhinged, untrained, and uneducated people that America has to offer, you've given them the power of life and death over other individuals in this society. And look at how they've acted with it. Look at how recklessly and wantonly they've acted with that power. You sure it's a good fucking idea still? I don't. Why are you chasing this man? He had a deportation warrant. Wait. You're going to have to go to sleep eventually. You know what I mean? Y'all so busy kicking in doors just a couple weeks ago. Maybe don't shoot the nigga and just kick his door in while he's sleeping and take him. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your jobs because fuck y'all. But seriously, then you know you got an innocent person. An American citizen, a teacher, someone who actually brings worth and merit to the world, unlike you ICE fuckheads, and she's gone now. Her family, her community, her students, bereaved because you have a chase down brown people fucking problem. Fuck ICE, fuck Trump, fuck Pam Bondi, fuck this entire administration. I mean that shit from my balls. Now this woman's gone. And for what? For what exactly? Was it Pablo Escobar, bitch? No. Just some dude who didn't have a green card. What the fuck? And what is this illegal bullshit anyway? Nobody is illegal on stolen land. How many different ways do we have to say it? Nobody is illegal on stolen land. Period. Enough of this shit. So fucking sick of this. It's got to be better news. And there is. Just had to get that out of the way. I'm also going to put another link in the channel. I'm going to link to the homies podcast. I'm also going to link to this other video. This is some good news that's happening out there. The homie Tom Powell Jr. has a YouTube channel. His channel is also fantastic and fun to watch. And he points out an organization called Haven Watch. Now, Haven Watch actually has a website. I'll see if I can get his video on here and also the link to Haven Watch. But what they do basically is when ICE snags up people, you know, wherever they get them from, one of the other evil things that they do is they'll take you however you are. If you half butt naked because you was asleep, get in the car with, you know, your underwear and maybe a sock on. But you basically aren't given any kind of, you know, clothing or anything like that. They just throw you into a room. And then however they took you out is however they drop you back off. No clothing, no phone, no money, no nothing, right? No food. Sometimes they don't feed them for hours, days on end. No food and water. And then now, because it's wintertime, in a lot of these places, they're just throwing them out into the cold in the middle of the night. You're out there in the middle of fucking nowhere. No cell phone, no money, no clothes. Just in the cold. And they just drop them off. The cruelty is their cause. Haven Watch, on the other hand, is a group of individuals who've dedicated themselves to waiting outside for these detention centers for these people to come out, offering them clothes, blankets, food, money, the ability to call home. They give them rides back to where they live or where their families are or other people that could take care of them. So they're doing the Lord's work. And I can't thank them enough for that, because that's a thing that you can do that doesn't involve you having to get in a protest line. It doesn't involve you, you know, having to be face-to-face with ICE agents and cops, because they don't give a fuck at this point. They're just being mean and throwing people out in the street in the cold. They don't care what you're doing with them afterwards. You know what I mean? As long as they're not their problem anymore, they're like, fuck them. There's an easy way to do something genuinely good and to help other people in a time when it seems like that's just kind of lost. You know what I mean? Like, just common human decency seems to have gone the way of the dodo. This is a way to do a good thing and to help other people. And I fucks with these guys hard. So I'm going to put the links to them in to Tom's video and also to Haven Watch in the description of the podcast. If you feel so inclined, you want to donate over there or even just elevate them by mentioning them through social media, that'd be great too. I'm sure they would love the mentions. I'm sure they would love the help. The money is going to go towards helping them kind of like provide, you know, the clothing, the blankets, the food, the gas for them to drive people to and from, like from the ICE centers to their homes or to their families. So, you know, a little bit can help, you know, and if you got it, you know, a couple, two, $3 you want to throw their way, I'm sure it wouldn't hurt their feelings. I figured I'd let you guys know. And again, thanks to both Brian Simpson and to Tom Powell Jr. for their wonderful videos and podcasts and input today. Yeah, that was cool. That was a good thing to talk about. As a good lighthearted, or not even lighthearted, a good more uplifting thing to talk about. Another thing, like I said earlier, though, when we were talking about gaming and stuff, this is we're going to close off on some goofy shit. I actually picked up this game called War Tile. And I'd seen it before, and I think I tried like a demo. Did I try the demo? No, I had seen it before, I think probably on like Games with Gold. It's been a while. The game's kind of old. And I didn't buy it. I kind of looked at it, like, thought about it, and like, I don't know. Maybe I'll try it later, right? The problem was later never came. And again, like I said, I understand that digital ownership is really next to nothing. And one day I will figure out a way to get that entire game onto like a hard drive where I can have it forever and ever. Amen. But it looks really awesome. And the only reason I have it right now is because it was 99 cents for the base game. And I'm like, are you shitting me right now? They're like, nope, 99 cents. Thank you, sir. I'm like, there you go. And like the expansion passes for it, like one of them was $26 and it had like a couple extra bells and whistles. But then like the main looked like story expansion thing was only $10. So I'm like, for the cost of like, I don't know, a decent diner lunch, I got the game and its DLC. So I'm like, that's pretty friggin' sick, dude. We're going to run with that. And I had some Xbox rewards points that I cashed over for the majority of that sale. So I really only paid like $2 for it. Because I had like, or like a dollar. No. Yeah, I have like $12.01. And I think the total was like $13. So I paid like less than, I mean, just under a dollar for it out of my own fucking cash, which is pretty cool. But if you see it around, it's since gone back up in price. So sorry you missed it. But if you see it again, check it out. It looks pretty dope. I might actually play it on stream. Like I said, I'm planning on doing some streaming today. So maybe I'll do it today. Maybe I'll do it when I come back from my hiatus at the beginning of March. I don't know. We're still debating on what we're going to do today. But I will let you guys know this. If you're a fan of the podcast, you're a fan of the stream, just know that going forward, we are not going to be doing monthly giveaways. And that by we, I mean me. And by not doing the giveaways, I mean we're not doing them. I will do the quarterly big box giveaways because it allows me time to save up money. But one of the things I've noticed is that, like, it's draining. It costs me more money to do the monthly giveaway every month than I make in Twitch. So I have to make some cost-cutting measures somewhere. It's the economy, dude. It's crazy, I know. But it also gives people more time to decide if they want to save up and maybe just subscribe for the month where the giveaway is. Hey, won't hurt my feelings at all. But yeah, one of the other things that was really kind of disappointing and heartbreaking about it was just a simple failure to acknowledge that anything had been done. And also the people actually asking me if it was a scam. That really kind of, that was just a personal irritation. But it was irritating to be like, yes, we've had years worth of conversation before. And no, this, why would I scam you? I've been doing these giveaways for like the last 6-7 years. So if you've been talking to me for at least the last 3 or 4 months, you've heard about at least 2 of these giveaways. So why are we fucking around here? You know what I mean? Like, do a little fucking, you know, do a little investigation. And then they're like, is this really you? Yeah, you mean the same motherfucker you've been talking to? One person asked me that outright. Is this really you? No, it's not. Just the same motherfucker you've been having conversations with via Twitch for, I don't know, last 3-4 years. But no, this is somebody else. And here's the other thing. They knew they were getting a prize and they asked if it was a scam. I'm like, I've sent you shit before, dickhead. We not friends no more. And that kind of level of stupidity and you know, just, it drives me crazy. I can't deal with it. It really made me mad. But yeah, it makes me sad that people, you know, will have like, they'll get like a prize or something like that. And then they won't even bother to blink in my direction. It's like, hey, thanks, I got it. Or, you know, it works kind of thing, which is very important because if it doesn't work and you don't tell me you ain't getting a refund, I ain't getting a refund, so I can't reissue it. So, I mean, just common human decency, thank you. Like a thank you note would be nice. You know what I mean? Or even just an acknowledgement that you received it and I didn't send it to somebody else's email. You know what I mean? I know it's you because I've emailed you before or whatever kind of thing. Or I've have to check with that. You know what I mean? To make sure, I have to check on that to make sure I'm sending it to the right person. That's why I only do it through one avenue because it's easier to keep track of. Nobody loses anything. And everybody wins, you know? But even still, people will be like, whatever. I'm like, oh, just trust me. This is not an obligation. I don't have to do giveaways, period. So since I don't, I'm not, you know? And just to, and sorry for the rest of you guys who are awesome about it, but a handful of your people fucked it up for everybody else because they couldn't bother to just type in a simple thank you. You could have even sent me a thumbs up or even a K, which is a real cunty thing to do, but I would have been like, at least you acknowledge that you got it. Yeah, you could have done any of those things, you wouldn't. So a few bad apples spoiled the bunch, so sorry, can't do it no more. I will do the quarterly big box giveaways, but that's because I have plenty of time to save up for them kind of things. But yeah, monthly giveaways are now officially dead. And you can thank some of your less than congenial or less than grateful community members for that one. But on the plus side, though, Overwatch is fun again. I have been playing more of that lately. The new characters are actually pretty interesting. There are some that were newer to me, and then there's some brand new ones that they've just released this past week or so. And the new characters are fun. They're interesting. The stories are really cool. And one of the things I found is that Overwatch has a pretty gentle learning curve. You know, like when you get in the competitive arenas, of course, it gets crazier. But generally speaking, Overwatch has a pretty gentle learning curve. And it's relatively easy to get into. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to get into. It's difficult to master, obviously. But yeah, it feels just as familiar as it always has, you know, for the most part. And I think they're learning some lessons. They still have not learned the lesson about overcharging for cosmetic shit, and they won't until, again, people start voting with their wallets and stop buying that shit. But I guess they figure for every like 10 people who don't buy it, one person will buy 15. So whatever. I don't know. I'm definitely John the Baptist of and screaming into the wilderness about overcharging for cosmetics, AI, and, you know, games as live service and digital ownership being bullshit. I'm definitely that dude. But Overwatch is still fun. And I'm enjoying it. And I might actually try some competitive stuff again in the near future. I never got into it after they basically lied about having a console league. And they turned it to just PC only. Which I found to be a huge misstep. And it's probably one of the reasons why Overwatch is not as popular, you know, as something like MMA, you know, or Counter-Strike. Just because, you know, or NFL. Because, you know, they've cut off an entire section of players who would be fun to watch. You know? They've got a pretty strong PC base, but imagine if, you know, you're playing Xbox and you ran against the guy who was like, you know, second runner-up in the Overwatch, you know, summer championships. You'd be like, oh shit, I just played against a champion guy. You know, that'd be dope. That'd be like going to pickup game and you get to, you know, shoot hoops with Steph Curry because he was just hanging out at the Y one day. How crazy would that be? But that's the kind of access you would have if you opened up a console league. Then those people can actually become celebrities. They could be a driving force for your industry. Instead of just looking like a bunch of pocket nerds, which is kind of what happened with the PC side. Sorry, you don't have to like what I'm saying. You just have to acknowledge that what I'm saying is a fact. If you open up the console arena for comp, for competitive play, you would bring in so much more money. I know because I would watch the shit and I would try out for it. Anyway, like I said, it's not bad. It's just like, yeah, this is a little minor gripe, but I still think it's a good game. I still think you should play it if you can get down with it, you know? Any hoodles, we are going to close it off today with a segment I'm actually going to start doing on a regular, which is called Brutal Game Reviews. Now, these are all pulled from the Xbox, so I can't speak to other console performance or, you know, performance issues or their overall ratings on other platforms. This is solely from Xbox or probably from Nintendo Switch whenever I get them, because those are the two that I have. I'm not going to pull them off of Steam until I get like a gaming PC. Again, money, dollars, everybody broke. But we're going to get there. We're working on it. But yeah, these are brutal game reviews that I find for... I'll scroll through the Xbox store and find a game that's got like a pretty crap rating. And I'll look at it and go like, what's this about? And then I'll, you know, dig through the reviews and try to find the ones that like really make me giggle. And today... It's unfortunate that we're going to have to do this because I do like boxing games and fighting games in general. And this game has taken a lot from a very successful franchise known as Fight Night by EA, This is Undisputed, published by Deep Silver and developed by Steel City Interactive. This game came out about a little over a year and a half ago, coming out October 11th, or is that November 10th? I forget how the tiles are written in Xbox's review section. I know for my personal dates, I haven't switched to EU timestamps and whatever. So it's like day, month, year. Instead of month, day, year, like, you know, US standards, but whatever. But this is Undisputed, a fighting game, allegedly, where become undisputed and rule the ring in the most authentic boxing game to date, featuring true-to-life visuals, bone-jarring action, and more licensed boxers than ever before. Undisputed gives you unprecedented control to master every inch of the ring. Oh, buddy, oh, boy. Wouldn't you be excited? It's only $50. Till we go down to the reviews. This game, Undisputed, is reviewed at, drumroll please, 2.2 stars out of 5. People are trashing this game. And again, remember, these are Xbox reviews. I didn't come up with these names, and this is, you know, I didn't come up with the reviews. I'm just reading what's on their, you know, store page, all right? So don't get mad at me. The very first review is from a person with a very lovely name of Inside Yo Mom. It gives it a 1 star for this game, Undisputed. Perfection is the title of the review. My favorite feature is the uninstall button. Damn. This one's from Hot Boy Supa. It's a 1 star review that says, deleting reviews is crazy with all those A's. Fix your game while you're deleting reviews. So apparently, just kind of like, you know, Yelp or Google or whatever, they are deleting their reviews, it looks like, a lot. This deleting reviews thing has been mentioned more than a handful of times over how many, I think it's a couple, let's see, let's go and see how many reviews there are. 1,911 reviews. 57% of them are 1 star. It's not looking good. So when they get bad reviews, they're deleting them. That's really funny. Poppy Banana gives it 1 star and says, Rob Blind as a title. I don't know what was worse, the Paul versus Tyson fight / WWE event or this abomination. Had everyone waiting and excited just to rob us. Might as well take my house and my family while you're at it. We need fight night back. Oh, that was good. I like that. That was cute. A lot of people are feeling very upset about this game. Let's see. We waited 12 plus years for this. This is the title from Quick the Don 81. The movement is ridiculous. The roster is a joke. The online play is laughable. Getting hit by the air is stuff that'll haunt my dreams. I keep playing because I spent $86+ for this. Wow! This game was nowhere close to being ready for release. I don't know who the fuck Steel City Interactive is. EA, look at what you did to us. We need a new fight night immediately. I guarantee you we don't want EA to do it. We really don't. For those of you who know anything about gaming, EA is probably one of the most egregious companies when it comes to putting out uncompleted slop and then charging people an assload of money for it while they slowly, over time, quote-unquote, fix the game. So, definitely don't want EA on this one. We could do without EA getting their hand back on Fight Night. Let's just leave it at that. If they could never get a hold of it again, it'd be too soon. But yeah, this one apparently was really bad. Let's see. Truly Awake 4938 says, 1 star, refund me. Awful game. You can get an idea from the rest of the reviews. Microsoft needs to fix the request refund. Need my money to go buy Fight Night DLC for my Xbox 360. It's like, I'm going backwards. It's like, it's so bad when you're like, I'm going way backwards. I'm going way backwards to just play an older game. I'm waiting for somebody to mention playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out. And more than a couple of these are saying that the developers scammed out of their money. paid for the deluxe version pre-order and only received the basic game. The DLC is unavailable. The game sucks, is full of glitches, and it's totally overhyped. Save your money. Yeah. And so a lot of the reviews are actually saying, like, one, they've been cheated out of money that they paid for downloadable content that they never received. So they paid for content they never received. And then on top of that, the game is broken as shit. And because the game is getting such bad reviews, Undisputed has been deleting reviews so that they don't have as low a ranking as they deserve. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Like, this one, sometimes they're funny reviews. Sometimes it's just people just trashing the game. Sorry, I saw one just now that was just like, this is great. Mac is back, says one star, hot garbage. It is flat out robbery. I wouldn't pay $10 for it. Fuck, the first Fight Night game smokes this hot turd. Wow. Yeah, definitely not a lot of love for this game out there. That's... Oh my god. Sometimes comments like that make you keep you warm at night. It's like, this is just... The better ones are when somebody like writes like an entire, like literally like an entire review. You're like, oh god, this is beautiful. Harv Dallas says, one star, do not purchase. As a black man, I've single-handedly set my people back 400 years by doing this. Wait for this on Game Pass. It's another game like Anthem. Damn. He said he set black people back 400 years by buying this game. Oh my god. That's fucking awesome. Anyway, if you want to read more of these brutal game reviews, feel free to stop on over to the Xbox Live Store. Look up the game. It's called Undisputed. Undisputedly a bad game. And very much leaving people in a lurch from if the reviews are to be believed. I can't attest to how good or bad it is. I haven't played it. And I'm not about to. Not for $49 and all these bad reviews. It's not happening. All right. Let me get out of here. I'm going to go and grab some honey tea. Apparently... this ginger tea is irritating my throat, something fierce, and I'm getting this rattly, raspy thing in my throat. I don't know what's going on there. Trust me, it's not on purpose. It just feels like my voice is like, you know, like Nedgar Blansky. Any South Park fans out there got that joke? Great. If not, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Thank you all for sharing it wherever you can. Thank you very much to our wonderful Patreons over at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. And don't forget, you can swing on over there for free 99. Write me an email. You might be able to read it on the podcast. Questions, comments, want some advice? That's where you need to go. I'm going to pop out of here so I can get this thing uploaded so you can listen to it. And again, share the podcast, rate, review whenever you can. And I'll see you wanderers a little further on down the road. Peace.